If you recall back in episode 5, I said that episode was one of two episodes that I already knew I was going to create, and this is the other one. So today we are going to talk about 5 big financial mistakes that I see online entrepreneurs making. I want to share those with you and hopefully save you from making some of these mistakes and maybe make you feel a little bit less alone if you have made these mistakes before. Before we dive in, I need to put a disclaimer here. I am not a legal or accounting professional. I'm certainly not your legal or accounting professional. So this is not professional accounting, tax, legal advice. You need to consult your own accountant for that. This is simply for informational purposes and to help you understand. All right. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's go ahead and dive in. Have you ever wondered what it's really like behind the scenes of a multi-7-figure business? We're talking real deal, unfiltered, non-sugar-coated version. And you'd rather learn from somebody who has sold direct to consumers rather than making all their money telling other people how to do exactly what they did. Well, you're in the right place. I'm Laura, your host of Get Profitable HQ. If I can do this, starting my business as the shyest person I know and running it today with 2 small kids, hobbies, travel, a chronic illness, and actually a life, then I know anyone can grow a successful business. Tune in each week for value-packed content to help you feel less alone in your journey to grow your business and for practical strategies to help you get to the next level, whether that be to quickly grow revenue and profit or grow slowly and be more efficient and spend less time in your business. All right, mistake number 1, and we're going to end with number 5 being like the worst mistake that you really, truly do not want to make. But number 1 is burying your head in the sand because you don't like what the numbers are telling you. Maybe you have a loss that month, or you're not making the revenue that you hoped you would. And so you're like, oh, I'm just not going to pay attention. I'm just going to ignore them. And a lot of us have a tendency, and this is very normal, to check in with our numbers pretty often when they're doing well. You know, if the launch is going well, we're going to check in all the time. Or if our profit and loss is looking real good, we're going to check in a lot. And once it starts looking bad, we pretend like it doesn't even exist. This is a huge mistake because no matter how you feel about the number, and a number really can't be good and bad, it's just a fact. But even if the numbers are quote unquote bad and you feel badly about them, it won't change the fact. They are what they are. They're very factual. It is what it is. And me knowing about it or not isn't going to change any of the numbers that have happened already, that have already, you know, already exist. But I do have the power to change the future. The sooner you know what's going on, the better and more accurate picture that you have of your numbers, the more effective you can be in actually meeting your goals. And here's the solution to this, because I know this is hard. And we have all done this where we've kind of ignored something or buried our head in the sand a little bit when there was something we just didn't like and didn't want to face. That's super typical. So the way to get out of this is to make an appointment with either yourself or your bookkeeper. So I have a monthly appointment on the calendar. I think it's like the 3rd Friday of every month with my bookkeeper where we are going to go over the numbers together. We set aside 30 minutes. There's been many times where I think the meeting has been less than 10 minutes. It just doesn't take that long. He has everything already as he goes, like throughout the month, he's categorizing all the transactions. That's a chance if there's any transactions that he doesn't know how to categorize, like he doesn't know who this was to or what category it was in, then he'll ask me about those. There's usually just a couple of those. And then he will, in QuickBooks, pull up the profit and loss statement for the month that just happened or even month to date. And then kind of bring up the comparison to the year before. So at a minimum, I'm forced to look at these numbers every single month, whether I want to or not. And if you can have that outside accountability, I think that is the best case scenario. So if you do have a bookkeeper, make sure you're having that monthly meeting with them so that you can actually see it. If they just email you a statement, that's good, but you're going to have to make sure you look at it, which I know sounds obvious, but that's why I think a meeting is even slightly better. Now, if you do not have a bookkeeper, maybe your business just doesn't justify that yet, or you're really good at doing it yourself or whatever it is, then still put a time on your calendar and do it with yourself. Bonus if you have someone in your life who could get on the call with you. So like maybe if you have a spouse that, you know, knows your finances and they could do it with you to keep you accountable or something like that, that's going to keep you more accountable. But at the very least, put it on your own calendar as a non-negotiable to have a finance check-in meeting every month. And at a minimum, you're going to look at your profit and loss for the month. That's just how much money you made, what your expenses were, and whether that's profit or loss, whether you made money or lost money. That is like the bare minimum. If you want to add more and look at more numbers and things like that, that's great. But that's at a minimum what everyone should be looking at every month. Mistake number two. And this one is a little bit harder to talk about because I don't want to step on toes here. I've heard a lot of people say something like, I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm just not very good at numbers. So maybe I don't worry about them or something like that. I want to challenge you here. A better statement would be, I'm not good at numbers yet. I haven't yet learned what all of these numbers mean, but I will. Because if you are an entrepreneur, that means by definition, one of the parts of your job, one of the hats that you wear is the numbers person. At the very least, I mean, in a big company, you might have like a CFO type person who is kind of in charge of the numbers, but still they're reporting to the CEO and the CEO is still taking good hard looks at those numbers. So if you are the owner or the CEO of your company, by definition, your goal is to maximize profit. That's the goal of every business. And you cannot do that without numbers. Like that is what a business is. So there isn't an option for a good, successful business owner to just not be good at numbers and not really care about the numbers. That's not an option. The alternate option is you can learn. And here's the deal. You do not need to be like some kind of numbers whiz or some investing whiz. You don't need to spend all your time all day in spreadsheets at all. Like I said, start with that monthly meeting of looking at your statements. You can absolutely hire a bookkeeper, and I would highly recommend as one of your first hires as soon as your business is making money to get that bookkeeper in place to be keeping up with your books. So you're not worrying about that and you're just looking at the actual information and not bogged down in the nitty gritty. And then start learning. And some of the basics, and I'm actually going to share them in this episode. Here's the other thing you need to realize is that they didn't teach us this in school. Actually, that's a huge mistake. I mean, if there was one thing that I feel like everyone in high school should be taught, it's basic personal finance and taxes. They didn't teach that in my high school. I do recall they taught me how to write a paper check, which is now pretty much useless. Does anyone write checks anymore these days? But they didn't really teach that much about basic personal finance, just the basics of profit and loss for a business, and about, I didn't understand about how taxes worked whatsoever. I was like, I don't understand how I'm bringing home so much less, even though I'm making more, and like how do taxes work, and what's this FICA thing, and what's a graduated income tax situation, and what does it mean when I'm filling out this like form for my employer at my job? Like, what kind of tax are they going to take out, and how many exemptions, and all this stuff? You know, like I didn't understand any of that. And in my opinion, they should be teaching that. Like, that should be just a foundational thing that every high school student has to learn because it's such a basic component of our lives. But if you don't understand it, you are not alone. There are so many, even 6- and 7-figure business owners who don't really understand this stuff. And just by learning it, you're going to give yourself a leg up. I would start, if you're feeling really overwhelmed, by just setting aside a certain amount of time, whatever feels comfortable to you. If you're really feeling overwhelmed, I would set shorter periods of time. Listen to what I'm going to say in the educational part of the podcast and listen to it more than once if you have to until you get that down. Once that's down, you can go on to something more in depth. Also, do not be afraid to ask questions. One of the things I finally realized is once I stopped feeling self-conscious about quote unquote not being good at numbers, and for me, I've always been a numbers person, but there's a lot of stuff about the tax situation and what does it mean to be an S-corp versus just a regular LLC and what is that and how does that affect me tax-wise? Like, I didn't understand that. What is that? Like, everyone's telling me I need to become an S-corp, I remember a few years ago, and I'm like, why? I don't understand. And I wasn't afraid to ask the questions. I don't care if they think I'm stupid, which they probably don't, but whatever. Even if they do, I'm going to ask questions until I understand. And especially for like my accountant, that's why I have an accountant, is so that I can ask questions and so that I can understand. Okay, explain to me exactly how does, for example, an S-corp status help me? How much money could that save me, assuming I made the same next year, and how? And understanding that was foundational. So do not be afraid to ask those questions. And the more you do that, the more you're going to find that you actually do understand the numbers. And I will also share that my kids' elementary school, they have like a phrase of the year every year. And one year it was yet. So it was like, I don't understand this yet. I haven't learned this yet. I'm not good at this yet. But you had to add the word yet. And I felt like that was just such a good life lesson. I mean, I kind of adopted that for life. And I still say it to them. They'll be like, I don't know how to ride a bike. And I'm like, you don't know how to ride a bike yet. So you're not good at numbers yet, but you will be. Oh, this is a huge one. Drives me nuts. But this is number three, buying things just because, or primarily because, or heavily influenced by the fact that they are, quote unquote, a tax write-off. Wow. Okay. So here's the deal. You are going to have less money at the end of the day, the more things you buy, period. Whether they're tax write-off or not. So this doesn't really make a lot of sense. If I want to keep more money, which I think should be the goal, if I want to maximize profit, which I think should be the goal, then it doesn't make a lot of sense to keep on spending more money. And it never really makes sense to let the taxes dictate what you're going to do. Now, I am all for saving money on taxes, and the more money you make, the more and more that becomes the biggest expense that you have every single year. And so obviously, yes, if you can save money on them, do it. But the less you pay in taxes, the less you actually made, and that's no one's goal. And here's the deal. Say that you're looking to buy something and it costs $1,000. I just want to be really, really clear on this because I think the way some people talk, I think some people don't understand this. If I want to buy, say, a $1,000 course and I'm trying to use the tax write-off as part of my reasoning, like I'm not really sure if I want to buy it. I kind of want to buy it. It's kind of expensive. I don't really know, but hey, it's a tax write-off, so I'll buy it. All right. That's kind of what I think a lot of reasoning is. So when I spend that $1,000 to buy that course, that does not mean at all that my tax bill is $1,000 less. It does not come out dollar for dollar. It reduces your profit. It is not a tax credit. So it's not like, hey, I buy this $1,000 thing and then I pay $1,000 in taxes. So it's essentially free. It does not work like that. So I just want to be really, really clear in case anyone thinks that it does. It doesn't. So what that means is that I would then pay $1,000 to whoever created that course, and it would cause me to pay $400 less to the IRS. I wouldn't pay $1,000 less to the IRS. I would pay $400 less to the IRS because my effective tax rate is 40%. So I just pulled that 40% out, you know, just out of nowhere. Now, here's the other thing that you need to understand. If you're a newer business owner and your business is not making a profit, maybe it has a loss, it's not making a profit, or it's making very small amounts of money, like a few $1,000s a year, and you do not have other sources of income, like this is your only income, you don't have a bunch of other sources of income, then buying that course is going to save you exactly $0 in taxes. Because if you are not making any money, do you know how much taxes you're paying? Nothing. You're paying taxes on what you earn. And later on in the episode, I'm going to explain how the graduated tax income system actually works. And you're going to see how even if you're making a few $1,000s, you're still paying zero taxes. And so it's not going to save you any money at all. The less you're making, the less money these purchases are going to save you. And I see the people making less money talking all the time about the tax write-off. And I'm like, is that really saving you any money? And if it is it really that much? So you need to make your decisions based on, is this a wise investment, period? Not, is this saving me money in taxes? Number four mistake, this is actually one that I see not only entrepreneurs making, but lots of just regular W-2 employees that go to a regular day job as well. And that is overpaying in taxes so that you can get a big tax return. I actually think regular employees do this a little bit more than entrepreneurs, but I think entrepreneurs can do it as well. So that's where you intentionally pay the IRS every quarter or whenever you pay taxes more than you're actually going to owe them or more than you think you're going to owe them. You don't know if you're an entrepreneur how much you're going to owe them because you don't know the future and how much you're going to make. But you pay them more than you think you're going to owe them so that come February, March, April, whenever you file your taxes, you get a big return and that feels like maybe a bonus or whatever. It's kind of a way of forcing you to save money. Unless you are just truly cannot have that money in your account and not spend it, it's a bad idea. Because right now, and this hasn't always been the case, but right now in 2024, interest rates are high. That means that most of us can go out and get an interest-bearing savings or checking account at somewhere in the neighborhood of 4.5%. That's what mine has. That was easy to get. I didn't need anything special. I'm not sure if that one for me even requires a minimum balance, but you can get somewhere in that neighborhood very easily. And so what you're doing, if you are sending the IRS way too much money, letting them hold on to it for you, and then giving you some of it back at the end of the year, you've essentially let them keep your money interest-free when it could have been sitting there in a checking account accruing 4.5% interest, which let's say you have $100,000 that you're going to owe in taxes. That's in the thousands of dollars that you're quote-unquote losing and giving up by giving it to the IRS instead of letting it sit in the bank account and then paying it when it's due. So don't overpay in taxes. No matter whether you're a regular employee or an entrepreneur, that is not going to help you. You don't want to lend the IRS your money for free. Number five. This is kind of the opposite of number four. And this is the one that you really don't want to do this. So I really hope I can stop some of you before you make this mistake. And if you have made this mistake, it's okay. You're not alone and you'll get through it. You do owe taxes when you make a profit and you don't want to owe the IRS money. Set that money aside. It is not your money. That money belongs to the IRS. Whether they require you to send it to them now or when you do your taxes next year, it is their money. Don't spend it. I see people get into these situations all the time. And I think part of it is you just don't realize how much you are going to owe in taxes, especially when your business starts growing. The difference in your tax bill from 1 year to the next can be huge if you're growing fast, especially if you were like, you know, kind of in that like normal salary range of profit, you know, $50,000, and then the next year going up to like $300,000 or something. That's a huge gap in taxes. You don't want to owe the IRS any money. They're the federal government. They're not the people you want to owe money to. And so what you need to be doing is whenever you make an income, you could do this at the time that you review your profit and loss every month. You want to be setting aside a percentage of money for taxes. You would probably want to talk to your accountant about how much you should set aside. A lot of it's going to depend on how much you make. I know a lot of people who set aside 40. I do more like 50 because that tax, you know, if you're making a lot of money, that effective tax rate can really get up there. And I want to set aside more than I need so that I kind of give my own self that tax bonus at the end of the year. So I have like this much money set aside for taxes. I've never, ever needed all of it because I'm super conservative. So that's when I kind of get that little bonus for myself. But I still own the money. I still had control of the money and it was still earning interest. So I wasn't giving it to the IRS early. So make sure you're setting aside that money as soon as you make it. If you need to, you can open a separate bank account and put it in there just to be extra sure that you don't touch it. Resist the temptation to borrow against it. What I would do if I was really in need of the money is I would spend more time to calculate a little bit better what I actually needed to set aside. So I wasn't setting aside way more than I know I need, but I wouldn't ever spend that money because you want to be able to pay your tax bill when it comes due. And I think another struggle for this is if you're coming from being an actual W-2 employee, working for somebody else, your traditional 9-to-5, and you're going to be an entrepreneur, when you work that traditional 9-to-5 as an employee, the employer takes care of paying your taxes for you. They're not actually paying them for you, but they're taking care of like taking them out of your paycheck, sending them to the government, and you never even see that money. And so it would be very difficult to spend it because you never saw it. They send it right away. And so you didn't have this problem. But when you become an entrepreneur, you're seeing all that money that comes in. And then you yourself personally every quarter have to write out a check for your quarterly estimates to the IRS and perhaps to your state, depending on the state that you live in. And then you have to do your taxes at the end of the year. And your accountant will tell you, this is how much money you need to send to the IRS and maybe to your state if your state has that kind of income tax. So the moral of the story is to be setting aside that money as you go, rather than being surprised by a tax bill that you weren't expecting. The solution to all of these problems and more problems that we haven't even talked about is really to understand how the finance and tax system works. I know that can sound daunting, and that's exactly what we're going to be diving into in the next episode. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Get Profitable HQ. If you did, don't forget to subscribe, share it with your business besties, and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. And if you love this and can't wait to get more, I have an entire bank of resources and more behind the scenes info at getprofitablehq.com. Go ahead and head there.